Beloved congregation, the first chapter of the Canons of Dort deals with the doctrine of divine predestination. And we saw last Lord's Day that that consists of two parts, election and reprobation. That God Almighty sovereignly chooses a certain number of sinners to be saved, and in his just judgment, God sovereignly leaves the rest of those sinners to their own wickedness and hard hearts. And then we saw there in Article 6 that people of perverse, impure, and unstable minds, they abuse this doctrine. They try to wrestle with it, but it is to their own destruction. But to holy and godly souls, it affords unspeakable consolation. And the way it does that is to know that election is from God. And it means all of salvation is from God. Every aspect of it. So I read of someone who said to their pastor, in salvation, God does his part, and I do mine. Now, a Reformed pastor thought, well, that sounds Arminian. I better find out exactly what this man means by that. So we asked him, well, what part does God do? And what part do you do? And the man, with tears in his eyes, said, God does the saving, and all I ever do is the sinning. When you are asked, dear believer, what did you contribute in order to be saved? And what are you contributing now in order to be saved and stay saved? How do you answer that? There's only one answer. Nothing. Even the faith with which I believe is God's work in me. It's God's gift to me. My contribution from my side? Only sin. But what about your good works? Someone says, well, you see, good works that I do are God's work in me and through me. But even my good works are contaminated with my sins. That's why Isaiah writes, our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of God. We are all commanded to repent of our sins and to believe the gospel. And yet when we obey that command with repentance and faith, it doesn't come from us. God gives what he commands. See, and that's why every elect person shall indeed be saved completely. That's true for justification when God declares a sinner righteous through the imputed righteousness of Christ. And it's true for sanctification, also flowing from the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ. No part of salvation is left for me to complete. To God be the glory. This morning we return to the Canons of Dort, the first chapter, this time Article 7, 8, and 9. If you want to read along, it's on page 98 in the back of the Psalter. We'll also be looking at Ephesians 1, verse 4 through 6, which is included in Article 7. So this is Article 7. Election is the unchangeable purpose of God, whereby, before the foundation of the world, he has, out of mere grace, according to the sovereign good pleasure of his own will, chosen from the whole human race, which had fallen through their own fault from their primitive state of rectitude into sin and destruction, a certain number of persons to redemption in Christ, whom he from eternity appointed the mediator and head of the elect and the foundation of salvation. This elect number, though by nature neither better nor more deserving than others, but with them involved in one common misery, God has decreed to give to Christ, to be saved by him, and effectually to call and draw them to his communion by his word and spirit, to bestow upon them true faith, justification, and sanctification, and having powerfully preserved them in the fellowship of his Son, finally to glorify them for the demonstration of his mercy and for the praise of his glorious grace, as it is written, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, in love having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved, Ephesians 1, 4 through 6. And elsewhere, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Article 8. There are not various decrees of election, but one and the same decree respecting all those who shall be saved, both under the Old and New Testament. Since the Scripture declares the good pleasure, purpose, and counsel of the divine will to be one, according to which he has chosen us from eternity, both to grace and glory, to salvation and the way of salvation, which he has ordained that we should walk therein. Article 9. This election was not founded upon foreseen faith and the obedience of faith, holiness, or any other good quality or disposition in man as the prerequisite cause or condition on which it depended. But men are chosen to faith and to obedience of faith, holiness, etc. Therefore, election is the fountain of every saving good from which proceeds faith, holiness, and the other gifts of salvation, and finally, eternal life itself, as its fruits and effects, according to that of the apostle, he has chosen us, not because we were, but so that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Ephesians 1, verse 4. Our theme this morning is the decree of sovereign election. And we will see, first of all, its definition. And then that there is only one decree of election. And thirdly, that it is not founded on anything in man. Now, some of us, when we hear the term election, we get a little uptight. And we draw back a little bit. Why would you want to talk about election? Well, first of all, if there were no election, we wouldn't even be here. If there were no election, there would be no believers. And then secondly, this doctrine of election is what encourages us to bring the gospel to other people. Because we know that God has his elect in here and out there. And the way he brings them in is through the gospel being brought to them. And if there were no elect, there would be no use to bring the gospel to anyone. But now, because we know that there is election, we have an encouragement to go out and bring the gospel to everyone we know. Well, what is its definition? And Article 7 is quite a long definition of the decree of sovereign election, and many of its details are worked out further in the following articles. So as we try to give just a summary definition of election, it won't be as thorough as we want it to be, but in the coming weeks and months, we will have a complete picture of it. First of all, election is the purpose of God, the article says. And that's a good scriptural term. It's used in Ephesians 3, verse 11. It's also called the counsel of God in Isaiah 46. It is called the good pleasure of God in Luke 12, his decree in Psalm 2. Here, it is the purpose of God. And when it comes to God's purpose in election, we read of that election in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy 7, for example. God has chosen you to be a special people to himself. And in Ephesians 1, verse 4, God has chosen us to be holy and without blame. Romans 9 speaks of the purpose of God according to election, not of works, but of him who calls. So election is the purpose of God, and that purpose is unchangeable. From before the foundation of the world, children, from eternity past to eternity future, God is the decreeing God. And that implies that the character of his purpose is unchangeable. Nothing and no one can resist his will and cause him to change. His purpose is never frustrated by any outside interference. His counsel shall stand. He will do his good pleasure. So it is the unchangeable purpose of God, and it is also out of pure grace. Election is according to the sovereign good pleasure of God's will. Nothing in any elect person merits their election. And all of that is connected to the fact that God's purpose is eternal. It is unchangeable. If election were not out of pure grace, then it is not according to God's sovereign good pleasure. And if it's not according to God's sovereign good pleasure, then it cannot be without cause or ground in those who are to be elected. See, if you deny even one of those facts of sovereign election, you lose election altogether. Just think of that one term, out of pure grace. How undeserved, how forfeited it is. The objects of election are poor, hell-worthy sinners in ourselves. We have forfeited every claim to the favor of God. And that idea of the term grace should always live in the hearts of believers. Grace is always undeserved. It's always demerited. It is always free. And there again, you have the exclusiveness of the word grace. Grace is the opposite of debt or obligation. So you can't say it's partly grace and partly works. Oh, it's good to use that phrase, to have it embedded in our minds and in our souls. I am saved out of pure grace alone. I am elect out of pure grace. And it seems that our forefathers thought even that term, pure grace, was not enough. So they added, according to the sovereign good pleasure of his own will. And remember, they are writing this, refuting the doctrine of the Arminians, who taught that election is based on God's foreseen faith and obedience of people. But no, election takes place according to the delight of God. Children, if we ask, why did God choose the elect? According to what standard did he choose them? Then the answer is, because it pleased God to choose them. He delighted in those whom he chose. He chose them for his own name's sake. And if you push that a little bit further and you say, but why was God pleased to choose them? Then the biblical answer is, be quiet. God's good pleasure is free and sovereign. And you can't go behind God's good pleasure. And you mustn't attempt to. To make the point even clearer, our forefathers added that the elect number is by nature neither better nor more deserving than others. So it's impossible that God would choose us because of a distinction between people. Because God himself makes that distinction for reasons in himself. And from eternity, Christ has been the mediator and the head of the elect. The relationship of Christ and his elect is that of the head and the body. Legally, the elect stand or fall with Christ. Our righteousness can only be in Christ Jesus. We are members of his body, We receive life from our head, the Lord Jesus. As our head, he redeems us and delivers us from sin and death and Satan. That's why Christ is called the foundation of our salvation. The ground of election is God's good pleasure. The foundation of our salvation is Christ Jesus, our Lord. God chose us. He redeemed us on the basis of Christ's redeeming work. In Article 7, we emphasize that election includes the whole of our salvation. Listen to this. God has decreed, or this elect number, God has decreed to give to Christ, to be saved by him, and effectually to call and draw them to his communion by his word and spirit, to bestow on them true faith, justification, and sanctification, and having powerfully preserved them in the fellowship of his Son, finally, to glorify them. So those elements of salvation are all included in election already. That'll be further explained in greater detail later on. But for now, we're summarizing the biblical teaching of Article 7. God's election includes all of our salvation. Dear believers, we are given to Christ in God's decree for the purpose of being saved by Jesus. We are effectually called. We receive the faith by which we are justified. We are sanctified in Christ. We are powerfully preserved. And finally, election includes our glorification. You can see all that in Romans 8, verse 30. Article 7 is such an excellent commentary on Ephesians 1, 4 through 6. According as God has chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world, so that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us through the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. The whole doctrine of the decree of sovereign election all centers around the glory of God. The salvation of the elect is not God's ultimate purpose. No, it is the demonstration of his mercy for the praise of his glorious grace. When we behold the marvelous works of God, how fitting it is then that the elect should forever praise the riches of such grace. He who glories, writes Paul, let him glory in the Lord. I would say in the Lord alone. That's just a summary definition of the doctrine of sovereign election. Secondly, there's only one decree of election. Article 8 is an excellent example of apologetics, the defense of what we believe and why we believe it. It's used in debates and discussions with those who have opposite beliefs. Here it's used in the debate with Arminian thinkers. And one such error that's taught by Arminians is that there are various decrees of election. There are various kinds of election of God. They speak about a general indefinite election and a particular and definite election. They say there's an election unto faith and another election unto salvation, so that in their way of thinking, you can be elected to justifying faith, but that's not the decisive election to salvation. When an Arminian speaks of election, it can mean up to six different things. Maybe that's an example of what Paul mentions in Ephesians 4, this cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. We confess, on the basis of Holy Scripture, there is but one decree of election. And that one decree concerns all of those who shall be saved. You could say it like this. The decree of election is the eternal, sovereign, unchangeable purpose of God to glorify his own name in leading to the final glory of his perfected covenant people in Christ Jesus along the way of pure grace. We also confess, beloved, that there's no essential difference between the old and new dispensations. The doctrine of election expresses the unity of the Old Testament and the New Testament. It includes all who shall be saved, both under the Old and the New Testament. There's one people of God, Old and New Testament. There's one promise of grace in the Old and in the New Testament. That's in opposition to the dispensationalist view, who say God saves his people in different ways at different times. We may distinguish between those two dispensations, but we must not divide them. In the Old Testament, we have a dispensation of shadows and types, and in the New Testament, of their fulfillment in Christ. But the salvation and the way of salvation are the same. It is always Christ who is the way and the truth and the life. The shadow and the reality, the type and its fulfillment are connected. All the elect saints in the Old Testament and all the elect saints in the New Testament and every saint in church history and every saint today, all are included in one eternal decree of election, to receive the only salvation in Christ in the way of pure grace. It's on that basis that our fathers conclude in Article 8 that we are chosen from eternity, both to grace and glory, to salvation and the way of salvation that he has ordained that we should walk therein. And here you get to the heart of the matter. Arminians teach that you can be chosen to grace, but maybe not to glory. That's two different matters, they say. You can be chosen to grace, you can be chosen to the way of salvation, but not to the way of salvation. And what that means is, for Arminian thinkers, the decision about your salvation is in time, not in eternity. The decision about your salvation is with you, not with God. It all depends on you, whether you will persevere to glory or not. It's always possible to lose grace and to wander away from salvation. So you can never be certain of your salvation. The question in an Arminian's mind must always be, will I really persevere until my last breath? But the biblical teaching is that election includes both the final glory of all believers and the grace to attain that glory. God elects his people unto grace, which is inevitably the way to glory. God chooses his people unto the way that surely leads to salvation. Now, those who object to the doctrine of the decree of sovereign election say, this doctrine, the way you present it, the way our confessions present it, makes people careless and profane in their life. But see, that objection is not valid. And the reason it's not valid lies in the nature of God's grace and in the nature of the way of salvation to which God elects his people. The way to salvation is the way to be walked in. And the grace to which we are elected is the power of God that causes and enables us to walk in that way. And that includes the whole way of salvation. From the means of grace that God gives, to the grace of using those means profitably for our souls, God himself brings us on that way. He sets our feet on the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. He leads us in the way everlasting. He leads us the whole way from the new birth to faith, to justification, to sanctification, to glorification. It is all God's work. What an indescribable comfort for a child of God who is weary of sin, sinning again every day. This doctrine of election gives indescribable comfort, because in this doctrine, everything is certain. It is established unchangeably and sovereignly from before the foundation of the world. The decision for our complete salvation is not in time. It's in eternity. It's not according to our will, but according to God's will. Him that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 31. So you see the definition of sovereign election. You see that there's only one decree of sovereign election, and that it includes all of salvation. The whole package is included in election. And what's most amazing is not founded on anything in you or me. Nothing. We'll look at that after we sing. 311. Election is not founded on anything in man. The Arminian teaching is that faith is a condition for election and salvation. Not only faith, but also the obedience of faith and holiness and any other good qualities that are required for election. Man must use the light of nature aright. He must be humble. He must be meek and pious, and thus become worthy and fit for eternal life. In Arminian thought, there's always an other condition for man to meet. And unless he meets all the conditions, he can't be sure of his election. You kind of feel the tension, don't you, that kind of thought lives in all of us anyway. We don't even have to be called Arminians. It's there. Always some condition that we set either for others to meet or for ourselves. Otherwise, we can't be sure. Now that is soundly refuted in Article 9. Unmistakable language. Because according to that theory, election is not really the work of God, but the work of man. The decision of election is not in eternity, but in time. And those who talk this way and think this way compare election to a book that God has read beforehand, or a movie that God has already seen, and God knows what each of the characters is going to do, and elects them on that basis. And that's just blatant heresy. A conditional election, beloved, means that God is no longer almighty and sovereign. A conditional election means that God is not the determiner of all things. He's not the sovereign ruler of the whole world. He doesn't have everyone and everything in his hand. A conditional election means that God is not free. God is not independent. God is dependent on mankind. He depends on us in order to save us. And that means a conditional election, God is no longer God. Scripture says, God is sovereign. God is free in his election decree. Listen how Paul puts it in Romans 9. God said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God who shows mercy. Election does not depend on man's desire or effort, but on God's mercy. Ephesians 1 verse 11. In him, that is in Christ, we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. And that means God's decree of election cannot be based on foreknowledge. It comes down to this question. Is your salvation determined by God or by you? See, those who believe in conditional election say, well, faith and obedience and holiness and good qualities come first, and election is second. Scripture teaches that election is first, and that faith and obedience and holiness and all the other good qualities of man come second. Notice the final scriptural quotation in Article 9. Pay special attention to what's in the brackets. He's quoting Ephesians 1 verse 4. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. And in the brackets. Not because we were, but in order that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. See, Scripture says very plainly that faith and obedience and holiness are because of election, are the result of election. See, we must never forget that election is always unto something. Election is for the purpose of faith and obedience and holiness. Election is not because of faith, obedience, and holiness. Election is the cause, and faith and obedience are the effect. It's not the other way around, as is taught so often today. The article mentions that based on Scripture, we see God and election as a fountain of every saving good. And from that fountain bubbles forth a stream of living water. From the fountain of God's electing grace bubbles forth the stream of faith and obedience and holiness and every good work. This fountain is eternal and unchangeable. This fountain, beloved, will never dry up. It can't be shut off. It can't be diverted. It is always flowing. So when we lived in Chilliwack, they built a new library downtown. And in front of that library, there was a pond they had made. And in the middle of that pond was a fountain. And they determined that once they turned that fountain on, it would always be spraying water. And the father was walking there with his little girl, 3 or 4 years old. And she stopped suddenly and looked at that fountain and she said, again and again and again and again. She was just overwhelmed and amazed. It wouldn't stop. It kept on coming. That's what this article says. God and election are like a fountain of every saving good. All of salvation flows out of God's sovereign decree of election. And we need to stand firm on that. We need to hold fast to this. You know, these days, doctrinal differences are often minimized. So don't talk about differences. And sometimes that's okay if we're talking about things that are non-essential to salvation, but not with core doctrine. Not with the decree of God's sovereign election. That's not just a matter of opinion. Or difference, a different point of view. Or a different emphasis that you people have. And we're not just quarreling about nothing. Our confessions don't minimize differences. The canons of Dort, and we confess this as Reformed believers, boldly condemns and refutes and denies the Arminian viewpoint. Election and salvation are always from God and only from God. And this is the doctrine that encourages the church to keep on preaching. This is the doctrine that encourages individual believers to keep on telling your children and your relatives and your customers and the people with whom you work the gospel. Because we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that faith comes as a result of election. So we know God has his elect. He saves them by bringing them the word, or bringing them to the word. That's what we do. As Christian believers, we bring people the word of God. And there are people here this morning who have been brought to the word of God, who have the word of God brought to them and who still don't really believe it. We're still doubtful. And who, when they think about election, say, oh, that's really negative, because if I'm not chosen, then I can't believe. It's not what your Bible tells you. Your Bible tells you the commands of the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent and believe the gospel. And when you do, you will know that you are elect. But that's the only way that you can know. Why not you? God's people often think about this marvelous doctrine of election and sovereign grace and say, why me? Why would God choose someone like me of all people? Why not you? It doesn't depend on you. It's not based and founded on anything in you. The doctrine of election is so beautiful. It includes grace, the means of grace, the faith with which to believe, the repentance with which to repent, justification, sanctification, glorification, and no aspect of salvation depends on me. Oh, but somebody's thinking, I can almost see their thoughts floating out there. But what about in sanctification? Don't I cooperate with God? When you do, that's God's work in you. That's not you. It's not your working. That's God's work in you. It is all by grace. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, to God's glory alone. Now, unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God Almighty, we acknowledge that there are many times when we abuse this doctrine, that we wrestle with it to our own destruction. And so, Lord, we pray that instead of abusing it, we would come to adore the doctrine of God's sovereign election. Realizing, O Lord, that without election, no one could or would be saved. Realizing that in election, everything is included. When a person is elected, cannot possibly go lost. We'll persevere. We'll be justified, sanctified, and glorified. Lord, we pray that thy people may be strengthened in the most holy faith to realize we are chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Oh, Lord God, we pray that this may encourage us when we look at our families, our children, our grandchildren, that it is because of the doctrine of election that we may bring them the Word of God, that we may teach them the fear of the Lord. Would give us boldness to do that in our homes, in our workplaces, where we are shopping, with whomever we meet, realizing that all those are souls going to eternity. Knowing, O Lord, that because of the decree of election, we may boldly bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to sinful people. Help us, Lord, to do so. Be with us further today. Bring us safely to our homes and back again this afternoon as we again turn to the book of Psalms. Oh, Lord, what a marvelous book you have given us, this book of Psalms. Bless it for our souls, we pray. Keep us from sin. Forgive our sins in Jesus' name. Amen.